Nehemiah chapter number 4, I want to read verse number 6. The Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." I want to read it one more time. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today, and we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for the sweet spirit that we have felt in this meeting already. And Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us, as you prayed, to have an ear that we might hear and receive that which you have for us. Lord, meet with us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention this morning to an expression that we find at the end of verse number 6 of Nehemiah 4, and I encourage you to notate it in your Bible, either by underlining it or drawing a circle or a box around it. But it's the expression at the very end of verse number 6, where it says, "The people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. Dr. Clarence Sexton used to make this statement. He said, "It is easier to restrain a fanatic than it is to resurrect a corpse." And let me say that to you one more time. He said, "It's easier to restrain a fanatic than it is to resurrect a corpse." Basically, what he was saying by that cute expression is it's easier to dial someone who's very enthusiastic back than it is to try to motivate someone who has no interest in doing anything. And today, as we continue in our series entitled Rise Up and Build, we're talking about having the passion to build. And as we arrive here at this fourth chapter of Nehemiah, we see that the people had a passion to build. And Nehemiah reveals one of the secrets to their success here in verse number 6 at the end of the verse when he tells us that the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah was saying that the people were passionate about building the wall. And if you and I are going to see God do anything as individuals or collectively as a church, or if our nation is going to see God move, it is going to have to start with men and women of God restoring the passion that they have about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to follow their example, we too have to be passionate in our service for the Lord. So this morning, I just want us to spend a few minutes talking about what it means to have the passion to build. If you'd like to take notes this morning, the first thing I want you to make note of is this. Let's talk for a moment about the definition of passion. The definition of passion. Merriam-Webster defines passion as a strong liking or desire for devotion to some activity, object, or concept. Passion has also been defined as a strong and barely controllable emotion. I don't have a problem with either one of those definitions that were given. But the question that I have is, and maybe you're asking, you say, "Pastor, how do you know for certain that the people here in Nehemiah chapter 4 had a passion to build? How do you get from the expression that the people had a mind to work that they were passionate about building?" Well, let's talk about it a little bit more in depth. Let's notice, first of all, the explanation of Nehemiah. Let's notice the explanation that Nehemiah gives here and break it down specifically. He said that the people had a mind to work. Now, you may want to write somewhere in the margin of your Bible that the word mind comes from the Hebrew word lav, and it literally means and speaks about the inner man, the heart, the will or desire. So when Nehemiah begins to say, and he begins to describe the people, and he says that they had a mind to work, he's not just talking about their intellect, he's talking about their heart. He's talking about their desire, their drive within them. So he says that they had a mind to work. The word work that's used here in verse 6 comes from the Hebrew word asah, and it means to do, to produce, to progress, to advance, or to accomplish. And so if you and I take exactly what Nehemiah said and exactly how he defined and explained the people, what he says was, is he says that they had a mind, they had a heart, they had a passion, they had a desire to accomplish, to do, and to produce. Basically what Nehemiah is saying is that these people's heart's desire was to progress and to advance in the work of God. He's saying literally that they had a passion about building. They had a hunger and a desire to see God do something. That was his explanation.
But notice the second thing, notice the effect on the nation. We've seen Nehemiah's explanation. He explains that they had a mind to work, but he also, we see an effect on the nation. You say, Pastor, what is the effect that their attitude or their passion had on the work? The effect is this, that it calls them to labor and to serve from a place of desire rather than duty. There's a lot of people who attend church today, and there's a lot of people who serve God today as though it is a responsibility. You and I have to get up and go to work tomorrow, and it's a responsibility that we have. We have to be there at a certain time. We have certain responsibilities that we have to do. We have certain people that we answer to. We have to stay to a certain time, and we can't leave till then. And if our work's not accomplished, we have to stay longer to get that. That's a responsibility. Now, we do it, and we faithfully do it, but we're doing it on a basis of responsibility, not out of desire. Some of you have different hobbies. Some of you may like to play golf. Some of you may like watching sports. Some of you may like to do crafts and different things. And I can promise you this. I bet you that there is not near the griping and complaining while you're doing that hobby as there is when you get up to go to that job. All the things that go wrong, you could be putting something together and it just falls apart. And you think, man, that drives me crazy. But not like it would if it happened at your workplace. Why? It's because there's a difference between doing something because you desire to do it versus having the duty and responsibility of being forced to do it. The men and women here in Nehemiah, as they built the wall, they were building out of a passion. They were building out of a desire. And that desire caused them to continue to do the work in the midst of the heat of the day, in the midst of the blisters, in the midst of the long days, in the midst of doing things that they weren't used to doing. Remember, we talked about the different vocations that were represented. Not everybody there was a builder. It's not like Nehemiah had a 1,000 contractors there. He had apothecaries. He had goldsmiths. He had people that were not used to doing this, but yet these people came and they labored through the long days. They labored through the persecutions and adversaries. Why? Because they had a passion to do the work. Passion will cause you to labor longer and more diligently than responsibility ever will. And so that's the definition of passion. The people, as Nehemiah explains, they had a mind, they had a hunger to accomplish, to advance, and to progress. But notice the second thing this morning. Not only do we see the definition of passion, but I want you to notice the display of passion. Secondly, this morning, I want us to note the display of passion. We don't have to take Nehemiah's word for the fact that these people were passionate. We can see it clearly displayed all throughout the people who are laboring. There's three examples I want to point out to you. Number one, I want to point out that Nehemiah was passionate. We see passion displayed in Nehemiah. Now, those of you who are here for the first sermon that we preached on this, you remember we talked about Nehemiah at length. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. The cupbearer was a prominent position. Nehemiah had access to the king. He had access to conversations that the king had that nobody else had. Do you remember we talked about that he worked in the palace of Shushan, and I showed you an example of what the palace of Shushan looked like. Nehemiah was so passionate about seeing the work of God increased that he left being the king's cupbearer and he left working in the palace of Shushan to go labor in a small remnant of people outside of Jerusalem who were being persecuted to go labor and to do hard manual labor and see a wall built. There's nothing in the world that will drive a man or a woman to do that other than the passion to see God do something. Nehemiah was passionate. And the lesson that we learn there is that if leadership isn't passionate about it, the followers will never be passionate about it. If the pastor's boring, dead, and dry and has no vision, no drive, no desire to see God win people to Christ, to see people, the church advance, to see new ministries form, then the church is never going to be able to have that same mentality. If you are laboring as a deacon and you have no drive, no passion, if you're laboring as a committee member, a committee chairman, if you're laboring in a Sunday school class, if you're laboring in children's church, if you're laboring in whatever form it is, if there's no passion, if there's no hunger, if there's no drive there, then don't expect the people that are around you to have hunger and passion and drive, because everything rises and falls on leadership. Nehemiah, as a leader, was passionate about seeing the work done. We not only see it displayed in Nehemiah, but secondly, we see it displayed in the nation. We see it displayed, secondly, in the nation. The nation of people as a whole were passionate about seeing this wall rebuilt. Now remember, there was a time when they weren't passionate about it. When Nehemiah comes back, the people are laying dormant. The work has ceased for a time. But Nehemiah comes back with a decree and says that we've got permission from the king to start rebuilding again. And when he addresses the people, what did they say? They said, "Let us rise up and build." We see the passion displayed in the people themselves. Notice again in verse 6 how Nehemiah describes this. He says, "For the people had a mind to work." I love the way that he expresses that. You know why I love it so much? Because he doesn't mention any titles. He doesn't mention any rank. He doesn't even mention any names. Why? Because they're insignificant. We get so hung up on titles. We get so hung up on rank and what position I hold. And I've got this authority and you don't have that authority. But Nehemiah says these people, they didn't have that in their mind. He said they were just the people working together. They were passionate and hungry to see God do something. There were old people there. There were young people there. There were men there. There were husbands there. There were wives there. There were sons there. There were daughters there. Remember, we talked about how that they collectively worked, and it didn't matter which way you looked, no matter where you were on the wall, you could just see people working to see God do something. The people as a nation were passionate about seeing God do something. We see passion displayed in Nehemiah as the leader. We see passion displayed in the nation. But then there's a third group I want you to see. And the third group that we see passion displayed is in the nobles. The third group we see passion displayed is in the nobles. Now you and I, when we think about Nehemiah, we want to follow Nehemiah's example. When you and I think about the nation, we want to follow the nation's example. But when we look at these nobles are not an example that we want to follow. These nobles, rather, are a warning of what not to do. Notice, if you would, turn back just a page in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter number 3. And look with me in verse number 5. It's interesting that Nehemiah mentions this group because it's significant. In Nehemiah chapter number 3, verse 5, he says this. He says, "Next unto them the Tekoites repaired." But watch this next expression. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5. "But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5. Nehemiah says, "Now next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord." Even in the midst of a leader that was passionate, even in the midst of a nation full of people, young, old, boys and girls, men and women, and all kinds of different vocations who are passionate about serving God, there were still those who didn't lift a finger to help the walls be rebuilt. Nehemiah mentions this group of nobles. The nobles were passionate, but they were passionate about the wrong things. The nobles were passionate about power. They were passionate about prestige. They were passionate about prominence. They weren't concerned with the overall work that was going on. All they were concerned about was their position and their title and what they had earned. And sadly, there are people in churches all across this country who think they are above doing certain tasks. "Well, you don't know how long I've been in this church. You don't know how important I am. You don't know how long I've done this, or you don't know how long I've done that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sweep a floor. I'm not going to scrub a toilet. I'm not going to empty a trash can. I'm not going to serve in that." But here's a lesson that you and I can take from this. You and I are never going to change the nobles. We can't change them. Only God can change them. So what do? The lesson we learn is this. We learn that despite the people who won't serve, don't let those people hinder you from serving. I want to show you something interesting about these Tekoites. Notice in verse 5 again, it says, "Next unto them the Tekoites repaired." Now the word Tekoites there is just talking about the average common Tekoite. That's the common person. It says they repaired the work. Their nobles didn't, but the average commoner of the Tekoites repaired. But notice later on in chapter 3 and verse 27. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 27. Notice what it says. It says, "After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even under the wall of Ophel." So here's what we have. Here's a lesson that we learn from these Tekoites. The Tekoites, just a common, average, everyday Tekoite, labored over here in verse 5 and they built and repaired. And when they got done with that, they went over here and found another place, another piece on the wall, and said, hey, we're finished with what we got. We want to help y'all build this too. The lesson we learn is this. Don't let those who aren't serving discourage you from serving. You just keep on serving. The Tekoites didn't stand around and gripe and complain because the nobles weren't doing what they should do. They just jumped in and they did more than what they should do, and they repaired another piece of the wall. That's what passion will do. Passion will cause you to do above and beyond what you're supposed to do because you want to see the work increased. Don't let those who don't serve discourage you from serving. So we've seen this morning the definition of passion. Nehemiah said that they had a mind to work. We've seen passion displayed through Nehemiah, the nation, and also someone not to follow, and that was the nobles. But I want you to notice the third and final thing this morning, and that's the dilemma with passion. The third and final thing I want you to see this morning is the dilemma with passion. Now, it's great to read in the Bible. It's great to look and see that the people had a mind to work. It's great to see that Nehemiah and the people were building the wall. It's great to see that Nehemiah was a great leader. It's great to see that the nation was with people who were passionate about it. But here's the question that I have. Because I'm not living in Nehemiah's day. I'm not Nehemiah and you're not the nation of Israel. Here's the question. How is it that you and I are going to see people passionate about serving God? How do we duplicate the same spirit and the same heart of what that was happening here in Nehemiah chapter 4. That's the dilemma. And if you and I are going to understand how that's going to happen, then we've got to understand two things. The first thing we've got to understand is the stages of people's passion. We've got to understand what I call the stages of people's passion. I believe there are three basic levels of passion that everyone in this room and everyone in a church sitting across America or in the world today falls into. I believe we all can fall into one of these three stages of passion. The first stage is what I call the dynamic stage. The dynamic stage. A person who is dynamically passionate about things is somebody who's excited about what's going on in the church. Man, they can't wait till Sunday to come around. They can't wait for the preaching to start. They can't wait for that Sunday school teacher to open and begin to dive into that lesson. They can't wait. They're hungry. They're excited. During the week, they're praying and asking God to speak to them. During the week, they're trying to expand and they're trying to read more. They're trying to pray more. They're trying to reach more people. They're hungry, man. They're dynamically passionate about seeing God do something. They want to grow in themselves and they want to see their church grow, and they are just hungry to see God do something. That's the dynamic stage of passion. But then there's a second stage. The second stage of passion is what I call the detached stage. The detached stage. The detached stage is a stage where your passion level has dwindled from being dynamic, and for the most part, honestly, it's more like it's indifferent. If things go good, great. If they don't go good, well, we tried. It's a level of, I'm going to come when it's convenient, but I'm not going to come when I don't want to come or when I've got something else to do. It's an idea of, I may read my Bible occasionally, but if I don't, it's not a big deal. If I'm not growing, it's one of those times where you say, I'm a Christian, I've been saved, I got a home in heaven, but I'm not really going to go any further. I don't want to be a fanatic about it. That's the detached stage. But then there's a third stage. The third stage is the dead stage. The dead stage. The dead stage is a place where there's no desire to do anything different than we've always done. People may still come to church, but it's out of obligation or a moral responsibility, not because they have a desire to. And they're just going through the motions. These are the three stages, I believe, of passion. Now, these are mine. These aren't directly from Scripture. I didn't quote any verses. Not going to throw that on the Lord. But I will say this. As I was studying this week and I got to thinking about it, I said, now, Lord, to me, that's the three stages that people fall into. That's where I fall into. And I got to but I said, Lord, is this really accurate? And God, by His Spirit, brought to my mind what Jesus told the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. You remember what He told the church at Revelation, of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3? He said, I would that you were hot or that you were cold. He said, I wish that you were on fire, or I wish that you had no passion at all. But he said, instead, you're lukewarm. You're right in the middle. And he said, I can't do anything with lukewarm. He said, so I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Read it when you get home. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And so all I'm saying is this, the stages of passion that I've given are very similar to the stages of passion that Jesus described to the church at Laodicea. He said, there are those who are red hot for the work of God. There are those who are cold for the work of God. He said, but then there are those who are trying to be somewhere in the middle. And he said, I can't do anything within the middle. He said, if you're cold, he said, I can warm you up. He said, if you're hot, I can make you hotter. He said, but if you're lukewarm, there's not much we can do. I fear that too many Christians across our nation find themselves in the detached passion group of serving God. Dr. Vance Havner is one of my favorite preachers to read after and to listen to. Dr. Havner grew up in Catawba County, where I grew up. And I've been reading one of his books called Hearts of Fire. I want to read you an excerpt from his book. Now, this isn't what I said, this is what Dr. Havner said. Now, Dr. Havner has been dead for many years. But listen to what he says. He says, I'm afraid that precious truths that ought to stir us and bring us to tears and should bring hallelujahs to our lips now leave us cold. He said, we sit like spiritual connoisseurs, glorified critics, inwardly sizing up what we hear. What once made us leap in the aisles now almost puts us to sleep in the pew. Don't forget, you who sit so lightly regarding the stupendous truths you have heard so much. You who can sit halfway asleep and yawn at what once made men gladly face prisons, torture, and death. Do not forget that there are multitudes in total darkness who, if they could hear a little of what you hear so much, would shout for joy to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's what Dr. Havner was getting at, and here's what I'm getting at this morning. You and I have been so blessed as a nation. We've been so blessed of growing up in an area where there's churches on every corner, where there's good preaching all around us. I'd love to tell you that this is the only good church in Marshfield. I'd love to tell you this is the only good church in Monroe, in Union County, but it's not. There's lots of good men and women, lots of good preachers who are preaching the truth this morning. We've got such access to the truth that our familiarity has breeded contempt. A man can get up and preach, whether it's me or somebody else, we can preach about the fact that we're lost without Christ and that we're facing eternity in hell, but that Jesus died so that we could be freed from our shackles of sin. And all of us, oh, preacher, we've heard that 1,000 times. Wonder how long the line at KFC is going to be if you don't hurry up and shut up. Isn't that the truth? That's what Dr. Havner's talking about. We have heard the truth so much that it's become boring, dull, and of none effect to so many. And the result of that is this. It's left us in a place of detached passion. It's left us in a place where people are not hungry about seeing God do a work. People aren't burdened about seeing somebody saved in your neighborhood. We're not burdened about seeing God add souls. When souls don't come down the aisle and trust Christ on a Sunday, we chalk it up to, well, that's the times we're living in. It's no big deal. When people don't walk down the aisles and join the church, well, it's no big deal. But it ought to grieve us. It ought to burden us because we want to see God do something. And if we're praying and asking Him to do something, it should burden our hearts when we don't see Him do it. And it should drive us deeper and more to our knees to pray, oh God, do a work in our day. Oh God, let people be saved. Oh God, let people come to this work so that we can see You do a work in our day. I'm glad You did it in Nehemiah's day, but oh God, do it here. Do it now. Do it in this place. Do it in my time. It ought to stir our hearts, church. So how do we get there? The stages don't tell us anything about where we are. Here's the answer. The answer is the stirring of people's passion. The answer is the stirring of people's passion. The solution to those who have a detached or a dead passion is that their hearts need to be stirred. But here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. The stirring is not a work that a preacher can do. The stirring's not a work that a teacher can do. The stirring's not a work that a deacon can do. The stirring's not a work that a church program can do or a church ministry can do. It's not a work that a committee can do. It's a work that only God can do. The people in Nehemiah weren't stirred because Nehemiah was such a great leader. They weren't stirred because he was such a great orator. Oh, it helped. And he helped organize some things. They weren't stirred because the leaders in their little areas were so great. They were stirred because God breathed on them, and there was a group who desired to see God do something, and God answered their prayer. So how are you and I going to see God help us to be a people who are passionate and hungry about the work of God? We've got to ask God to do it. We've got to ask God to do it. You see, only the breath of God can breathe on the flickering embers of a man or woman's heart and cause the fire of God to rise up again like it once did and burn like a raging inferno inside of them, hungry about serving God, hungry about growing, hungry about knowing more about the Savior, knowing more about God, knowing more about eternity, knowing more about things to come. Only God can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. And so our work today, as we think about the passion to build, is this. We can't do anything without having a passion to build. We can't rise up and build. We can't see God do a work without having a mind to work, just like the people here in Nehemiah chapter 4 did. But you and I can't go from having a detached or a dead passion to having a dynamic passion on our own. All we can do is ask God to stir our hearts again and help us to have the hunger that He desires for us to have. So this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know what level, stage of passion that you find yourself in. But I know this. If we're not dynamically passionate and hungry about seeing God do something, then we ought to find ourselves a place in this altar and say, God, restore unto me the hunger and the passion that you'd have me to have so that I can see people saved and so that I can serve you and give you my life to see your work accomplished in this world. Let's bow our heads in prayer.